I want to talk to you about not just our Lord, but partly the things we're going to talk about today is our relationship with our Lord and how important that relationship is, and some things that will add to that relationship, some things that will take away from that relationship. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 66, the question was asked about Jesus, "What think ye?" And all the people answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Well, they proceeded to put him to death. And I want to talk to you a little while today about the feelings of guilt and the idea of guilt. And in this instance, the word guilty means to be bound to punishment for crime. And so in their estimation, as they considered Jesus and they considered the life he had lived there and the things that he did, they said he is guilty of death. And they were prepared for him to be put to death then and there. I took these next few slides out of the Houston Chronicle. Joseph Rise, age 29, scheduled to be put to death on October 21st, convicted of breaking into a rural home in Hopkins County in northeast Texas, fatally shooting the man who was sleeping there and driving off in his car. Rise was 19 at the time of the slaying of 64-year-old Robert Ratliff. Bobby Wayne Woods, age 42, scheduled to die October 23rd, convicted of the 1997 murder of Sarah Patterson, the 11-year-old daughter of his ex-girlfriend. The child and her 9-year-old brother were abducted from their home in Granbury, about 25 miles southwest of Fort Worth. She died after her throat was slashed. Her brother Cody was choked into unconsciousness but survived. Eric Neno, age 47, on October the 28th, convicted of the 1995 rape and strangling of a 7-year-old neighbor girl, Nicole Benton, in Hockley, about 30 miles northwest of Houston. 2 days after she disappeared, the girl's body was found in the attic of Nino's home. Gregory Wright, age 42, on October the 30th, Wright, who was homeless, was convicted of taking part in the 1997 fatal stabbing of Donna Duncan Vick at her home in DeSoto, about 15 miles south of Dallas. Duncan, a 52-year-old widow, regularly ministered to the homeless and had given Wright food, shelter, and money. What do you think? What do you think about these people? It's not that hard to decide, is it? A family member said, "When it comes to what he did to our family, I think he deserves it." It wouldn't be too hard to feel that way, I suppose, if a crime of this nature had been committed against a family member or someone that you knew really well. We could decide and say they're guilty and they deserve it. But you know, our Lord Jesus was not guilty. He went there before the council and he was innocent. He had never done a wrong thing in his life. He had never committed any sin. And when you think about being guilty of something, I typically think about sin. You know, being guilty and feeling guilty that's unpleasant. I don't like the feeling. I don't like to think about and dwell on it, really. But I think that's an important thing, really, for us to consider and think about what guilt is for and what it does. What is sin? We talk about it quite a bit. We're going to look at some scriptures that teach about it, and we're going to think about it for just a little while. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, he says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." I don't think I really understood this till just a few years ago. The sting that brings death is sin. That's what the sting of death is. Sin is a thing that brings death. Ultimately, that's what it does. You can call sin a lot of other things, but sin ultimately brings death into life. In 1 John 5 verse 17, he says, all unrighteousness is sin. Well, you might call this sort of a blanket statement. It covers a lot of things. Anything that is unrighteous is sin. What the Bible says. In 1 John 3 verse 4, he describes it in a fairly technical way. Whoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of God's law. To transgress means to break, to violate. That's what it is. And so not only is sin all unrighteousness, but sin is also the breaking of the commandments or laws of God. In Matthew 15, beginning in verse 18, he says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. We think about these things a lot of times when we think about sin. And when you study your Bible and you read through the pages of the Bible, we find list after list after list of these terrible things. They're sin. Now I'm going to tell you a sad truth about these things that we're going to talk about for just a moment. One's just as bad as another. And people in the world today, a lot of people, maybe you don't look at it that way. We just don't look at it as an evil thought as bad as murder. They all come from the same place. They come out of the heart and they defile, you see. Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 19. I believe this is from the New King James. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of the which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These things, they come out of the heart. They come forth from the heart. And he says people who do these things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And I think if you're here today, you probably want that. You want to be a part of that heavenly home. And God has a standard about these things. And sin is the breaking of God's law. And so God today has a sin against hatred. It's against the law. He has a law today against jealousy. How about outburst of wrath? He has a law against that. And if you have jealousy in your life, then you break the law, and that's sin. And sin is the sting that brings death. That's what it does. And I'll tell you, we're all pretty fortunate that that don't happen immediately when we sin, because if it happened when we sin, we'd all already be dead. We'd just already be gone. God looks at sin a little bit differently maybe than we do. In Proverbs 24 verse 9, he says, the thought of foolishness is sin. That's kind of a hard statement, isn't it? How many times do you think about something that's just absolutely foolish? That's sin. He goes on to say, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, and serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful. He says hating one another. That's sin. Those things all continue a long list of sin. Here's another one of those blanket statements. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know you ought to do something that's good, you don't do that. It's not just too bad, or next time I'll catch it. He said that sin is what that is. Now we'll talk about what God thinks about sin. Psalms 11 verse 5, he said, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked And him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. You ever heard somebody say, boy, I don't like that? Somebody else might say, I really don't like that. And then someone else will say, man, I hate their guts. Boy, now we're at another level of I don't like. God's soul hates it. Not a little bit, complete and total. The God hates it. He hates sin. And furthermore, in Deuteronomy 25 verse 16, he says, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know, something that you hate, something that your soul hates, you take it pretty seriously. You avoid it. You work against it. You refuse it. You teach against it. You try to do everything you can to destroy that. And God hates sin. And people that live in wickedness and sin, He hates it. And He says that it's abomination. In Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. The truth is, it's difficult for us to have the same feelings that God has. We should try. We should try to understand it the way He does, because the Lord tries the righteous. He looks down on us. He considers us and considers our hearts and how we live and what we do. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 29, He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now I'm going to tell you, you got a problem. Because very likely you don't even understand what all those things mean. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is a very serious thing with God. Some people don't take it very serious. That's too bad. It's a very serious thing with God to break His law, to break His commandments and violate His law. And He says the people that do these things and live in sin are worthy of death. Now maybe you don't think that's fair, because we can read about these guys who committed terrible crimes. We can say, yeah, they deserve it. But I'm going to tell you, in God's eyes, because His ways are higher than our ways, when you commit sin, you earn death. You're worthy of death. It's right. And it's fair. So, have you sinned? He says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John 1 verse 8, He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In 1 John 3 verse 8, He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And Romans 5 verse 12 says, for wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I've sinned. I've done a sin. I've done plenty of them. And I suppose you can say the same thing, and if you have committed a sin, then you're worthy of death. That's what God says about that. In Ezekiel chapter 18, Verse 20, he says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. You know, I'm glad I don't have to pay for my father's sins. And I'm sure he's glad he don't have to pay for my sins. But God has a standard. Your righteousness will be upon you, but your wickedness will be upon you. He says, the soul that sinneth, it'll die. Well, if you commit sin, you're worthy of death. In James chapter 1, verse 15, he says, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It's the sting that brings death. And if there's one thing you've got to understand for a right understanding of sin, is that sin brings death. That's what it does. It always has. And it will. Until our Lord returns, it will. Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I told this story a few times when we moved to Mom and Dad's new house when I was about 4 years old. Five or six, there's a lot of grass burrs grew up around there. I don't know if Dad even remembers. He showed me a 5 gallon bucket one day and a hoe, and he said, every grass burr that you dig up, I'm going to pay you a nickel. And I thought, I'm rich. There were grass burrs everywhere, and I started hoeing them up, and I'd put them in the bucket, and I'd take them over there, and I'd dump them out in an old trash barrel, and I'd count them. I'd count up my money. And I'd go tell him, this is how many I've done. This is how much I've earned. He said, okay, I'll pay you. I earned it. I earned that money. He gave me a job. I agreed to do the job, and I went to work. And this is so different with sin. When you live in sin and commit sin, whether you think it's fair or not, you earn death. I think to dig up them grass burrs was worth more like a quarter a piece than a nickel. But I didn't have an argument about that. That's what the wage was. The wage of sin is death. That's what it brings. It's what you deserve. It's fair. It's fair. What about Jesus dying on the cross was fair? Not one thing. It ain't fair. All my kids, all the years of their growing up, they come and say, well, Dad, that ain't fair. And I just say, life ain't fair. Cry me a river. It ain't fair. Deal with it. I don't think they probably appreciated that, but is that what we just say about Jesus? Jesus, life ain't fair. Tough. The same goes for you and me. If you live in sin and you commit sin, this is what you get. You get death. He says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Blood had to be shed to pay the penalty, the price for sin. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, he said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you think about this word propitiation? It means the appeasement or the means of appeasing. Jesus is the means of appeasing God for our sins. When I was in high school, I had a science teacher named Tim Bennett. Nice guy. And for whatever reason, I had been over to the superintendent's office. Amy will remember where that was. I'd gone over there for some reason. I'm walking back over to the main building, and Mr. Bennett's ahead of me walking. Between he and I is another student named Scott Watson. There was snow on the ground. I scooped up and made a snowball. And as we walked along, I just peeled off and threw that snowball, hit Mr. Bennett right in the back of the head. Whap! He turned around. He said, "Scotty Watson, you're getting licks." And I go, "Life ain't fair." You know? He grabbed him by the collar. I said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You." He didn't do that. He said, "Scotty, you didn't do that." He said, "I didn't do that." I said, "I done that." He said, "Scotty, go on." He said, "See, Buck, why'd you do that?" I said, "I don't know. I just done it." He said, "Go on, get out of here. Don't do that again." Did I deserve it? Did I deserve him to say, "It's all right"? No. He should have given me licks. God loved us so much that he sent his son to pay the price. Your sins and my sins. That's what he sent his son for. In Isaiah 53 verse 6, he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Is it fair that Jesus died? No. But God took your sins and he put those sins on Jesus. And he's the one who paid. He's the one who suffered. Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." That's what the Lord did, and that's the cost of your guilt. And to have freedom from guilt and to be relieved of that guilt, somebody had to pay for your sins. And that's what Jesus did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he says, "For he hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The only way that you can be righteous today, the only way, is for him to pay your price. In Galatians 3 and 13, he says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." 1 Peter 2, "Who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Can you imagine standing there and watching Jesus hanging on the cross? Wouldn't you have tried to intervene? Wouldn't you have felt like, "Well, we can't allow this to happen. He didn't do anything wrong." But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus hung on that cross, he is guilty. Guilty of sin. Not his own, but yours. He went there an innocent man, and he was just as guilty as he could be with your sin. I'll tell you, that ain't fair. Those evil thoughts, he paid for them. Envy hung there, your envy. Fornication, wickedness, being unforgiving. You know, we could go through all those and we could say, "Well, who's guilty?" Well, it wasn't Jesus, it's you. Who should pay? Certainly not him. He didn't do it. He says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He loves us. God loves us, and he doesn't want us to pay. He doesn't want you to die. In Romans 1 verse 32, He says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Who is guilty and who should pay? You and I. In Romans 5 verse 10, he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If you got sin in your life today, you can't have a relationship with God. You can't. It's impossible. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, he says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want to ask you to get out your songbook. A lot of things may happen to you in life that are not fair. You may be punished for something that you did not do. But this one gift from God makes it all even. And that's when you should die for your sins. Jesus died instead. He loves us, and he washes us from our sins in his own blood. Now, I want you to know something. He's not going to force you to accept this gift. If you want to deny the Lord and reject the Lord, you can do that, but you'll pay yourself. And I'm going to tell you, you're guilty.